Why don't you open up your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 21. So what we learned last week is that chapter 21 begins a prophetic section in the book of Luke. So this is where Jesus is going to deal with prophecy. Now, we discussed the context of this passage to set up the whole reason as to why Jesus is going to be dealing with what he's dealing with right here. And some of that we got into in depth last week. But by way of review, we learned that in verses 5 and 6, as they're leaving the Temple Mount, and this will be Jesus' last visit to the Temple Mount, and so as they're leaving, other than when he goes to the Antonia Fortress, which is on the Temple Mount, but way up on the northern section. And so as they're leaving this beautiful temple, the disciples, trying to lighten things up because Jesus has had some intense discussions with the religious leaders and the religious establishment. And so they try to lighten things up, and they point to the beautiful temple, which I showed you pictures of last week. And I don't know if those got on our website or not. I'm not sure. Joshy's not here, so I can't. But you can check the website and see if the pictures are on there. But as they're leaving, they point to this massive structure. And they say, come on, Jesus. I mean, don't you see this beautiful temple? Don't you see this religious system that we have? I mean, this is all good things. This is all good stuff that we're a part of here. And, Jesus then points out the fact that God had left the temple years ago. And he points at this massive structure. And he says, do you see this? You see this big, massive structure? I'm telling you that not one stone will be left upon another. It's coming down. It's all going to be torn down. And then with the temple being torn down, the sacrifice system will also cease. And so we learned that in 70 AD, under Titus's rule of the Roman government, he came in, sacked Jerusalem, tore down the temple, trying to get the gold, knocked it over stone by stone. And so for 2,000 years, literally, there has been no temple in Jerusalem. The closest thing that they have is the Western Wall that I showed you a picture of that last week, which is the largest outdoor synagogue. And so that has been taken down. They've had no sacrifice system. And so with that, Jesus leaves the temple. And according to Matthew and Mark's gospel, they leave that. They walk across the Kidron Valley. They go over to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus then enters into a discussion with the disciples because they had asked a two-part question. When will these things be? And what will be the sign when all of these things will be fulfilled? So a two-part question that is asked. And from that, Jesus will give what is known as the Olivet Discourse because he's giving it from the Mount of Olives. And so some of the rules, just real quickly, that we talked about last week, rules of interpretation. I sent you home to do your homework, and I hope that many of you did your homework, that was to read the remainder of chapter 21, and then also to read Daniel chapter 9, because these two are woven together. And if you did that, that's going to help you to understand. If you didn't, we're going to finish chapter 21 next week, and that's really going to get wild, and that's really going to dovetail into Daniel chapter 9. So you're not out of hot water yet. So I would encourage you to read Daniel 9 again, and especially for next week, read the whole parable about the fig tree, which begins at verse 29. So, one of the things that we need to understand is the context. You remember we discussed this. Jesus, a Jew, speaking primarily to four Jewish disciples on the Mount of Olives in Israel, speaking about and answering questions in regards to the temple in Israel. So this is very Jewish in its context. And the main thing that we will see is to keep your eyes and your focus upon Israel, because that is God's time clock. That is the primary place where the last day's events will take place. Jesus never once told them to watch any other location, not one other nation, but to keep your eyes on Israel. Watch about the things in Israel. And you'll see some more inferences here towards Israel here in just a few moments. And remember, this discussion that we are going to read, don't forget this, It has to do with the tribulation period. The final 7 years of time before time will stop as we know it. That's what is referred to as the last days or the end times. And so it's the tribulation period that the church, those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're not going to see this. However, it is something that as those days approach, we can kind of know what's going on and kind of give us an idea of how close we are to those to this day when this is going to take place. So this chapter breaks down the tribulation period into three parts here. The beginning, and some of the events that will lead to the beginning, the middle, and then what will happen at the end of the tribulation period. So those kind of things that we're going to be looking at today. But just so you understand, this is not for the church. So when we study this, this is not something that we are going to be participating in. We're going to be in a 7-year honeymoon with our groom up in heaven, enjoying the relationship that we had because we put our faith in Jesus now before the removal of the church. So don't forget that. But I would tell you that it is very, very good for us to watch world events. I'm a news junkie, which is can be a good thing and can be a bad thing. I mean, when we've been to Russia, they don't have any English news channels. And, I mean, it's brutal. I'm calling back here saying, what's going on in the world? You know, and you know, when you're a news addict, it's kind of a difficult thing. But I look at this because it's encouraging, even though we look at the news and we say, how discouraging. I watch the news and I'm more bummed out than when I, you know, started my day. But if you look at it from the perspective of trying to determine where we are in the grand scheme of things, it's encouraging. Because I see all this stuff going on, and that's what we want to talk about right now. So how close are we? And you know, in the world events, are we getting close? Well, let's take a look. So verse 8 of chapter 21. And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, or rumors of wars, if you will, do not be terrified. And this is, you may want to underline this, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues. Now, notice that. That's very Hebrew. And prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. It's an opportunity. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess ye your souls. Possess your souls. So in this particular section, this now is a description of the first kind of portion of the tribulation period, the 7-year period of time that is known as the 7-year tribulation. After the church is removed, the clock, remember we talked about this last week, God will then turn his attention back to Israel. And the final 7 years of time, as we know it, will begin to click. There's a 7-year period of time. We're going to talk about that more next week again. And we'll finish up this prophetic section next week. And we'll have overheads, and you're going to want to take notes. I'll show you something that will boggle your mind in regards to the fig tree. So here we see then, after the removal of the church, time starts ticking. And so what we need to understand is, how close then are we, by looking at world events, that Jesus just laid out for us, as we look at these things, we can tell that we're getting near to the beginning of the tribulation period, of before which the church is going to be removed. So that tells us that the rapture of the church must be getting very, very close. And so this is what gets exciting to me. So notice in verse 8, Jesus first says, don't be deceived. I find that fascinating. Whenever we see that phrase used in the Bible, I don't want you to be confused concerning spiritual gifts. What is the church most confused about? Spiritual gifts. He says, I don't want you to be deceived. What is he getting ready to talk about? End times. What is the church totally deceived and confused about? End times. Isn't that fascinating? That the things where he draws attention saying, I'm going to tell you something right now to get rid of your confusion, that seems to be the area where we're most confused. Fascinating. But here he then begins, not to be deceived. So what we need to understand about the phraseology of Hebrew when they're mentioning this is that as the days heat up, or as we get closer to the end of the church age, which will then trigger the 7-year tribulation period, as we get closer to the end of the church age, these things are going to increase. They're going to get more and more severe. We're going to see things begin to escalate. And they will increase in intensity. And so Jesus is giving us this insight before it happens, so that those of us that are in the church cannot look for the tribulation period, because we're not going to be a part of that. But we can look to these things and say, man, we got to be getting close. Why would that be so important? So that we can keep our lives right, and we can begin to share with those that are around us that we know that are not walking with Jesus, that haven't given their lives to him. And so as we look at this then, we begin to understand, kind of like birth pains of a pregnant mom. Many of us have seen this take place. All of a sudden a mom, is out to here. I guess that's not fair, because we have many men in the fellowship that are like that as well. But you'll notice, boys, that I've lost several months on my pregnancy from my sickness. But, when the moms are out to here and the day is coming where they're anticipating, the birth of the child, and all of a sudden they begin to feel the little contractions. And they tell their husband, uh-oh. And so then what do? We start timing it. Okay, well, how long are they in between each contraction? And then the doctors tell you that when they get to be, ladies help me, how many minutes apart? 3 minutes apart. Then that means you better get down to the hospital. And with this contractions, they begin to get increasing in pain. So I'm told. And then when you get into the hospital, and the whole fun thing, that everybody does, you go through the Lamaze thing and you learn that how to breathe during these things. And so as the contractions get harder and heavier, then, they tell you then pretty soon it's you're just, panting and blowing and unless you're my wife, okay, who she doesn't experience any of the earlier stuff. For her, water breaks at home, immediate transition. We go in an hour later, a baby's born. Just wanted to bless you, ladies. Just wanted to bless you girls that go through 36-hour labors, Mari's like a little baby machine. And so... I laugh because whenever I mention her name, you guys look and see, is she laughing or not? Are we allowed to laugh with her or not, But I've been, and I've talked to many of you other ladies that have other kinds of pregnancies than what we've experienced. And so that's what this is all, where we're headed with all of this, okay? This is what we see. We see that there's contractions happening right now in the world. And they as the time grows nearer to the birth of judgment upon this world, they're going to get more and more intense and closer together. And right now, to be totally honest with you, I'd say we're probably about 4 minutes apart. To where, you know, when we get down to 3 minutes apart, I think that we're going to be out of here. And so to me, this is exciting. So what we mean by this is the world is going to see more and more of these signs that we just read, and we'll talk about those, that are going to intensify and they're going to multiply as the time draws closer until finally, you know, judgment will come upon a Christ-rejecting world. So the first warning that we are given here to watch for is to watch out for false Christs. Watch out for false messiahs. Now, this is very fascinating to me in the time that we live in, because we are living in a day and age where this is something that is out there more than I told you guys last Sunday, I got saved in the 70s, and I have not seen this being, you know, spoken of ever. I mean, I don't remember anybody talking about this in the 70s like they are now. And so we see this, and I am amazed at how people, once they reject the truth, okay, once someone has come to a place where they reject truth, what lies they'll believe. Have you noticed that? I mean, this whole concept of, even the Big Bang Theory boggles my mind at how intelligent, thinking, rational people can believe that. I had a gentleman come over to my house, and he was an airplane builder, and he was coming over picking up carpet that they used at their house. And so he and I got into a conversation, and very, very intelligent guy. And he began telling me about, I've built, you know, custom airplanes. And I said, really? That's awesome, over here at Ramona. And then he began to ask me, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor at Calvary Chapel. And it's so funny when that happens, because suddenly people, they back away like, what's this boy got, you know? And so we began talking, and so then he shows up on another day, and I see this book on the seat of his truck, something about the truth behind the Big Bang. And so he says, you know, I don't know, are you a creationist, or are you... You know, do you believe in evolution and the Big Bang Theory and all that? I said, no. I said, I'm a definite creationist, and I believe that God created it all. And he says, well, as you might have known, I firmly believe in the Big Bang Theory and evolution. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, can I just ask you a question? And he says, sure, ask away. And he was wanting to give me this book to read. I said, no, just save your time. I don't have time to read that stuff. So I said, I just have a question to ask you. I'm just curious if you could help me out. When you're building your airplane, did you take all of the parts and all the components, put them in your airplane hangar, stand back, throw in a stick of dynamite, shut the door, run, and after this big bang, did you come back and there was an airplane all together sitting in the hangar? The funny thing was his response. Well, to be continued. And he gets in his car and leaves. But do you understand how rational, intelligent people, once you've rejected the truth, the lies that people will believe. And here we live in a society that Jesus is warning that many will come and they will declare that they are the Savior. And Jesus is saying, don't you believe it. Now, for one thing, here's the truth. When Jesus comes back, everyone in the world is going to know it. There will be no mistaking. People aren't going to say, is that him? Riding the white stallion with billions of people riding horses right behind him, and then one guy, you know, being pulled on a donkey way in the back, it looks like Pastor Rob. You know. The whole world is going to know Jesus is coming back, okay? So it's not going to be a mystery, but he's warning us to keep our eyes open. Now, the main warning is for those that end up in the tribulation period when the Antichrist suddenly comes upon the scene, okay? But here, for you and I, he's also saying this will increase with intensity as the time draws near. They're going to declare this, and people are going to be deceived. We have seen this in our own generation. And we've talked about this many times before, that Shirley MacLaine will walk out onto to the beach and say, "I am God," and people believe her, and she's got this huge following. Not to mention, my nemesis, L. Ron Hubbard, not to be confused with Rob Hubbard, okay? L. Ron and Scientology, have you listened to Tom Cruise? Have you listened to John Travolta? They say that he and that system of Scientology is their savior. And all of, you know, many people in Hollywood are buying into this thing. And so it's an amazing thing. We've seen, you know, in our current culture, I don't remember how many years ago, but how many of you remember Heaven's Gate? Right in our own community, you know, right in San Diego. And, you know, they... he claimed to be their savior, and 38 people, he talked them into killing themselves. And so we see this. We've seen in our current culture Sun Myung Moon. And Sun Myung Moon also declares to be the Messiah. I'll just read to you a few quotes that he has made. This is Sun Myung Moon saying, "The world is in my hand. I will conquer and subjugate the world." He says, "We must have an automatic theocracy to rule the world, so we cannot separate the political field from the religious. History will make the position of Reverend Moon clear, and his enemies, the American population and government, will bow down to me. The time will come when even a presidential candidate will need father's endorsement in order to succeed." And we live in a culture right now that we have the New Age movement. It really is not New Age, it's old garbage, but it is what we see. And what do they say? That Christ consciousness, that everyone has the Christ consciousness within them. So it's not a person, it's a conscious awareness that we are good innately within us. And so it's an amazing thing. I don't know... how many of you, I mean, we are living right now, I mean, even just to pull something out of right now today. The number one book, bestseller list. Many of you may have heard about this, The Da Vinci Code. How many of you have heard of The Da Vinci Code? I'm curious. Wow. Before I mean, I didn't even know anything about it. All of a sudden, I'm getting articles about this thing. And this Da Vinci Code, see, it's not only that there are people that are proclaiming to be the Christ, which that's happening, but it's also an attempt by the enemy to devalue Jesus Christ. See? To somehow make him look like he's some kind of a nutcase, that the church is full of nutcases. And so that's exactly what the Da Vinci Code is trying to do. You understand that? The Da Vinci Code is an amazing thing. You know, it tells in the book that Jesus was actually married to Mary Magdalene, and that they had children, and they moved to France, and they began this special lineage which was kept secret. And so these documents were recorded, and all of this information was recorded, and they were put into the sarcophagus of Mary Magdalene. And so the Catholic Church has hidden this sarcophagus because they didn't want the world to know that Christianity is bogus, and that Jesus is a fake and a fraud. And so now the premise of the book is to try to, you know, find this, and they're looking at, you know, Da Vinci's picture of the Last Supper, and there's supposedly secret codes in it and all this kind of stuff. And you know what we see happening, and by the way, they're saying that they're going to make this into a movie, is an attack upon the real Jesus Christ, while the fakes are saying, "Here we are." And so I want to encourage you. First of all, I would encourage you that, you know, this book, by the way, is just a novel. But it's presented in such a way that people are thinking, "Wow, it's historical." I read an article where Barbara Streisand's reading it, going, "This is absolutely amazing." That boggles the mind that a Jew would be reading a book like that. But here we see that, you know, they present it to be historically accurate, and that it's this somehow this mystery. But I want you to understand, gang, even though it is a novel, it is an attack upon Jesus Christ. Period. And so I would encourage you, first of all, don't waste your time. If you want to read a novel that'll just boggle your mind, if you're into novels, Greg Fahle gave me a novel called Safely Home. Absolutely the most amazing novel that I've read. I usually don't take the time to read novels because to me it's just like I got a million other books to read, but this book blew my mind. But here's the deal. One of the things that for us as Christians, I was at, Mari and I were at a restaurant, and there was a guy reading the book, you know, the people are reading this all around you, and people where you work are reading this book, and it's stirring up all this, you know, quote, controversy. I would encourage you, be ready to give answers as to who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah. There has been nothing hidden. There is no secret sarcophagus. There, you know, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it is historically accurate. And if you want to know how I know that Jesus is alive and that he was real, it's because he's living in me. I once was blind, and now I see. And that's something that we need to remember, you see? And so just for your own understanding. Plus, you know, we know the truth. If you're studying your Bible on a daily basis, you know the truth. So that when a lie comes up or a counterfeit comes, you're going to know it. You know, there have been many people. Today, you're going to know what a Hebrew national tastes like. So let no imitation ever... what kind of hot dogs you have? Well, Hebrew nationals. Really? Let me have a taste. You're going to know, man, when somebody tries to sneak in a ballpark Frank instead of a Hebrew national. So don't let that out of your eyes. You know what I would encourage you? I'll be honest with you. I have a hard enough time spending the time I need to in the Word of God and applying His truth into my life. Really and truly, whatever other little time that I have to read other books, I want to read something that is edifying and building up. And so I would encourage you, stick to the Word, gang. We're in the last of the last days. We need to know what the Word of God says. So more and more we see are showing up. We talked about this many, many years ago. In fact, I think it was when we were at Hanson Lane. We had a guy walk into the church, and he claimed to be the Apostle John. And he said that he had a word for us. And I stood up and walked him out. Funny thing, most people didn't even know it. And as he's walking out, he's pronouncing a curse upon me and upon the church. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that here we are, accursed people. And look at how blessed we are. But anyway... But anyway, don't be deceived. Jesus is the only Savior. And when he shows up, I'm going to tell you, the whole world's going to know. So here's what I would suggest. Don't follow a person who claims to be the Savior. You follow a person who points to Jesus as the Savior. And if you've got those kind of friends and those kind of people you're listening to on the radio, then that's someone you can follow. Well, we also are told that in these last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Interesting. Wars and rumors of wars. These signs have been increasing since Jesus spoke them. There's been world wars, there have been, you know, smaller wars, there have been many wars, and I can tell you right now, even in our current culture, who would have ever believed 25 or 30 years ago, who of us would have ever believed that we would be fighting a war against terrorism? I would have never believed that. What's that all about? And now we are fighting a war against terrorism, a new enemy that changes all the time. When I was talking to Avi and to Amir, he said the Jews in Israel, and by the way, it's really and truly it's Islam that hates Christianity and it hates the Jews. You guys, I want you to understand that in our current war against terrorism, this is something that I personally don't believe that we as a people understand what we got ourselves into. Because this isn't just going and fighting the Germans or going and fighting the Japanese and them fighting against the Americans. This is a religious war that we don't even have any idea. What kind of a person will get into a bus with little children and old men and old women, civilians, strapped with bombs. And listen, I've seen the videos of what happens after this takes place. And get onto a bus and blow themselves up, killing innocent men, women, and children that have nothing to do with this war. What kind of person does that? That's what we're dealing with, you see. And I've seen what this looks like, and it is grisly. What kind of people? Well, the Jews had been trained on how to look for, and they had it down. They could spot someone who they would ask questions at all these checkpoints. They knew what kind of person to ask for. Do you know what, though? They began, the terrorists began to figure this out. They started shaving their beards off, started bleaching their hair. So that their faces change in such a way that the Jews can't put them in a category any longer. Then they start putting women and little kids. Did you hear about that one just recently where a little boy was captured and they sent a robot over with a pair of scissors to help him cut the stuff off of himself? They sent women in. But you know, it's not just women. Now listen to this. It's women. It was a woman whose husband said, you've committed an adulterous affair. So you can either be killed by stoning and, in such a way that you'll be shamed in front of all of the community, or you can redeem yourself and blow yourself up and kill a bunch of innocent people. So she opted to kill all the people. This is the kind of enemy that we're dealing with, you understand? And it's increasing because now it's not just happening in Israel, it happened in New York. What kind of people would fly airplanes into a building to kill 3,000 plus innocent people? What kind of people will do this in Iraq where they're killing innocent people? This is the kind of enemy that we fight against now. And it's increasing as we speak. I wonder, as what kind of people, as we looked at, and I don't know if you caught this on the news, where the Hamas had a press conference. Did you guys see this? They had a press conference. Masked men standing in front of a table with the remains of innocent or of these Israeli soldiers on the table in front of them. Because that's this big battle that's going on right now. The Jews are trying to say, we want those remains back so that we can bury them in Israel. So they have a press conference saying, if you want these parts back, and literally there's a leg there and an arm and pieces of looks like brutal. If you want this back, you release some of our soul. And they do a press conference. What kind of people do this stuff? What kind of people saw off an innocent man's head and videotape it? Do you understand? This is what we're dealing with, gang. And it's increasing. So when we look at this, am I trying to ruin your day? No. I look at this and I say, wow, Lord. We're coming down the wire. Because look at how this is increasing. Look at what's happening in our current culture. And I'm sure it doesn't have to do with this particular prophecy, but it does have to be, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah. And we talked about the homosexual agenda. As you see, we're Massachusetts getting ready to pass this thing, and they've even said that it will change marriage as we know it. So this, when we look at this stuff, yes, we're outraged on one hand, but on the other hand, Mari and I are going, man, we got to be getting close. It's got to be getting close. And right now, even in our own country, we are waging a war, it's called the war on drugs. Even in this country that we have a relative peaceful country, gun wars are going on in our inner cities every day, but they're disposable, so we don't talk about that very much. The liberal media doesn't really want to pay too much attention to that, and we want to pay attention to other things. But then also notice in this context that it talks about that there will be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now, this is something that's increased over the past several years, because right now we have the kingdom of Britain involved in a war. We also have, the kingdom of Jordan that is involved in this war. We have the kingdom, which is a whole nother story, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And, I was reading an article about that last week and just seeing what, you know, how this whole thing. So we're talking about even now kingdom against kingdom, as well as nations against nations, and we're seeing this increase as well. So these are, you know, if you will, these are, you know, the contractions are getting closer and closer, and they have increased since the time of Jesus. I mean, just think about this. We talked about modern technology last week. We've gone from hand-to-hand combat to airplanes to jets. We've gone from, you know, naval battles that where they shot cannonballs at each other through oak ships to launching smart bombs, you know, off of the side of these ships to nuclear warheads. So have we seen things increase? I would think that we have. And so I'm not just making this stuff up, you see. Then we are warned here to watch out for national disasters, earthquakes, famines, troubles, what it's referred to. So, you know, do you understand that right now we are told that if you go on, you can look it up on the internet, that we have some 6,000 earthquakes each year all around the world. And so from 1950 to 1990, they've shown how, they'll show you how much this has increased over the years. It's almost like, you know, convulsions getting ready to give birth, you know, where the shaking begins to take place before this birth takes place. And now we're seeing it in these strange places, that one they had in Iran where it, you know, wiped out a whole city of people. They're having them in Mexico and, you know, here in Southern California, that's just part of what we do. It's part of where we live. But we are seeing these things increase. And what about national disasters like fires? That sounds familiar to those of us living in Southern California, doesn't it? It's you know, we see that taking place, these disasters that are happening. We are talking about famines, which literally means a scarcity of food. We see that in our current world system, not only in third world countries, where we see those pictures all the time, you know, where they show these children that are starving to death in these, you know, third world countries. But do you understand that even in our country, the United States of America, the most advanced country in the world, one of the richest countries in the world, and we have men, women, and children that go to bed hungry every night because they don't have enough food in our current culture. It boggles the mind. And so, you know, we've seen these pictures, so we are aware that there are hungry people, but even in our own culture, there is a famine in our own land. And then it refers to, in our text right here, troubles, but that literally can be translated pestilences. And so what is a pestilence? Well, it literally can be translated disease. So now, I don't have to be a rocket scientist, and I don't know if we have any of you in here rocket scientists. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this one out, does it? As we look around in our current world system, you know, we have the AIDS epidemic, which isn't that interestingly been quiet lately. I find that fascinating, that this whole AIDS epidemic is suddenly very, very quiet until we hear it on the news where the pornography industry, suddenly AIDS is running rampant through that. And if you'll notice, the funny thing about that is they're mainly interviewing women. Why? Because the homosexual agenda is trying to push forward right now. Push, 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 push. We can't talk about AIDS right now because you understand that most homosexuals die of AIDS. And so it's a disease that there is no cure. It's going crazy. And I don't know. This is just last week. I hope you guys caught this. Just last week on the secular news, they were bashing the safe sex thing. Well, you remember where they were pushing this, you know, campaign, the safe sex campaign, into the school system and into the college campuses, and they were pushing this agenda or this campaign. And now they've shown that there are more sexually transmitted diseases in high school and college than there was before the campaign started. And that was on the secular news media. You know, this isn't stuff that I'm finding, you know, in some obscure Christian place. This is happening. So now they're saying, well, we're not quite so sure the safe sex campaign has really done what it's supposed to do. Duh! You know, hello? I read a story about this young boy that asked his grandpa, and he says, Grandpa, what did you use to protect yourself from sexually transmitted diseases? And the grandpa looks at his grandson, and he says, well, that's an easy one, a wedding ring. Amen. Do you understand what happened? You understand that, hopefully. Hopefully you got that. Okay. Stay married. Stay with the wife that you married, and you're not going to have to worry about this, okay? Interesting. There's a theory about my disease that I have. You guys know, many of you may or may not know, I have a disease called ulcerative colitis, disease of the large intestine. You can't catch it, okay? They don't know where it comes from. They don't know how it's happened. Keith Jensen sent me this article that he'd heard on the radio. And so I went online, started checking it out. And amazingly enough, true story, this is true, they say that the problem is that I need pig worms. This is true. They say that we live in a society that has been so sanitized that there are certain parasites that once we had in our bodies, and, mine's an autoimmune problem, and so there are two different types of that I know of. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, okay? I'm just a lowly pastor. I don't know this stuff. That there are two different types of, immune things. There's the T1 and the T2 or whatever it is. And so my problem is I don't have enough T2 activity. And so they say that by, because of, before we would eat ham and you would ingest some of these parasites that didn't hurt you, and they would eat certain parts of, within the colon, and then that would cause the T2 to say, hey, we need to come alive, and we need to help out here, down here. And so with the cleaning of and the sanitizing of pork and all of that, they've determined that, no pig farmers in the country have ulcerative colitis. And so they began to do this study thinking, well, you know what, I think it's the clean society problem. And so they're doing research studies. I actually sent them an application to say, hey, I'll take some pig worms if it'll stop this, And you don't even have to go on Fear Factor. It's a cool thing. And so here we think that with a society that is getting cleaner, that the quality of life would be getting better, and yet on the other hand, it's causing problems within people's systems. And so disease is definitely on the increase. I mean, I don't think it's just because we're getting older. But have we not seen more and more of our friends and coworkers and family people, suddenly getting cancer? And so it seems like this thing is on the increase. And so this is are things that are going to take place. These are going to begin to happen, and they will continue to increase. Now, he gives a little section to the disciples right here. He says, before all of these things take place, I want to warn you boys. You're going to be arrested, and he talks about the troubles that they are going to face. Why did Jesus do that? He talks about they're going to turn you over to the synagogues. You're going to be put into prison. You're going to be killed for my name's sake. Now, trust me, during the tribulation period, that's going to happen again. Trust me, in places like China, in places like Iran, in other countries in the world right now that are primarily Muslim countries, Christians are being imprisoned, Christians are being killed, even as we speak. But to the disciples during that particular time, he was giving them warning so that they wouldn't think, oh my goodness, it's been 30 years since Jesus has left, and all of these things are happening, the second coming must be happening right now. Jesus was trying to give them a warning that you guys are going to face some serious trouble, but don't worry about it. Use it as an opportunity to share the truth. And I would encourage each of us that as we begin to face persecution, and we will, even in our own culture. What? You say you're against homosexual marriage? Yes, I am. Well, you narrow-minded bigot. And don't you find that fascinating? You intolerant person. Well, wait a minute. Help me to understand something. Was that a statement of tolerance? That you just made against me? You're calling me a bigot, so what does that indicate about you? Where's the love? We can ask them, you see. And so we are going to see it. Now, maybe not to the extent that these other countries are seeing, but we will see an increase in persecution just because we're Christian people, just because we believe in the Word of God, just because we stand for the truth. And I want to encourage you. Don't let this stop you from being who Jesus has called you to be. So, now, I know there are some that say, well, no, Pastor Rob, haven't all these things been around for a long time? Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make. But they're increasing. That's the point we need to remember. In the Hebrew, he says, these things are going to begin to increase. The labor pains are going to get shorter and shorter, and to where pretty soon it's time to give birth. And so what we need to understand that, yes, this is going to increase, and they're going to continue to increase until the church is removed and the tribulation period begins. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. I bring you these current events so that you can look at this system that we look at and say, oh, this world is just getting so bad, I don't know how much more I can stand. I agree with that. But I want you to look at it from the perspective of the eternal perspective and see that God is looking at this saying, yes, it's happening just as I said it was going to happen. And so the time is near for the church to be removed. And so I share that with you because if we see these signs, we know that Jesus is going to return very, very soon. So for all of us, that should cause us to live lives that are totally different. Lord, I want to be ready because I don't want to be here during that tribulation period, which we're going to talk about next week. Secondly, Lord, I want to begin to share with those that you've given me an opportunity to share with. Those that are open. Those that you're talking to. Those that you talk about, you know, world events and people that want to talk about the Da Vinci Code and the people that want to talk about this, you know, this mean, nasty stuff that's going on over in Iraq and in Israel. And yes, you know, I've been asked, well, what about what our soldiers did? Unacceptable. Unacceptable behavior. Absolutely. But you know what? That's totally different than sawing a guy's head off in front of a video camera. And even though they're both wrong and they're both unacceptable, one is barbaric, one is perverted. You see? And so it is unacceptable. But here's the deal. When something like this happens, you can't paint a picture and say the whole entire United States is nothing but a bunch of perverts. Because I know you guys aren't. And I know many people that are in the armed forces that are not. So you got a few bad ones. Did you guys hear? Also on the radio were those two guys up in Portland, Oregon. They played the videotape of the guy's head being sawn off. They got fired. Now that's the way you deal with this, isn't it? When somebody messes up, you deal with them. And you notice they didn't fire the owner of the station. Like what our current system is trying to do, saying, fire the president, make Rumsfeld resign. Well, it doesn't work that way where you work, where I work, and we're in the rest of the world system. So what we see is a sign of the times that we are living in. And to me, I would say that this is very, very encouraging. So are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? I know I am. I would love nothing more than to get out of here before I have to take pig worms. Okay? I'll get a brand new colon, and it'll be working fine, and I didn't have to, you know, eat any pig worms. Okay? Secondly, know your word. Get into the word so that you know how to share with those that are around you that are lost and dying. For those people that you're discussing, they need to understand how close we are to the end times. And so let that be what encourages you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of being in your word. We thank you that you've given us this amazing prophecy. And as we look at it, we can see that the signs of the times that we are living in. And frankly, Lord, it's exciting. we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. May you put in our hearts a boldness to get out and want to tell others. But I also pray, Lord, that if there be any in this room that have heard your word and they've not yet committed their life to you, and maybe this morning these things are scary to them because they're not ready for your return, Lord, all they have to do is pray. All they have to do is ask you, and you will gladly save them. Save them from themselves now and from the time of tribulation that is yet to come. And so, Lord, may you draw them to yourself even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.